Revolution Church, today you are in for a treat. My nephew, Marcus Fry, who is interning at the church this summer, is going to be preaching today. Now, you might be like, okay, is he preaching because he's your nephew? No, no, Marcus is considering going into ministry. He was one of the first kids born at Revolution Church. He was actually like the second kid born among the founders of the church over 20 years ago. So you can kind of do some math and figure out how old he is. He's 67, just kidding. So he's starting this journey towards ministry. He's been working on this sermon. I've reviewed it. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be good. It is going to be the best sermon you've ever heard in your entire life. No one has ever preached a better, more doctrinally true, more theologically accurate, more compelling sermon than you're about to hear right now. Let's welcome Marcus Fry.
No pressure, right? Yeah, so like Jeff said, I have been here my entire life. I was born into this church like just a few months after it started, and so I've been coming to Revolution Church for 18 years, left for 2 years, went off to college. Now I'm back for this summer. And fun fact about me, speaking of when I was a baby, I had really bad acid reflux. And now all babies have some kind of acid reflux. They burp up, they spit up their milk a lot. Any parent knows it's like one of the worst things. You don't have a spit bib thing or whatever, and you just bleh. And yeah, I did that a lot, like way more than any other babies. I was barfing constantly, and I was drinking lots of milk, but I just could not keep it down. I was craving something more. I was craving solid food. I didn't even know it yet, though. And so once like you get old enough, like 6 months old or so, you start to eat solid food. And my mom loves to tell this story about how my grandma from Texas came up one day to visit. And I was probably, like maybe 6 months old or so. And my mom was feeding me, just shoveling food into my mouth as fast as possible, which is the way I liked it. Any slower than that, and I just got upset. And my grandma was like, "Why are you feeding him so dang fast? Let the kid breathe, Jen." And my mom was like, "Well, watch what happens when I don't feed him so fast." And she fed me at a normal pace, you know, what other normal babies were being fed. And I start crying. I start going, and start freaking out. I'm like, "Give me this food right now." After I tasted solid food for the first time, there was no way I was ever going back to just milk. I just wasn't cutting it anymore. See, milk is good for babies, but when we grow up, all of us, we stop drinking milk. Like some of you even have a lactose intolerance now, so you can't drink milk if you wanted to. But we have to move on to solid milk. We have to grow up. The problem is, though, sometimes we don't want to grow up, and sometimes we're satisfied with just drinking milk for the rest of our lives. I'm not just talking about our diets anymore. Sometimes, like me, you said, "You know what? This summer, I'm going to go out and I'm going to run every single morning." And when you wake up in the morning, that snooze bar looks really, really enticing. And maybe like me, you hit it like 4 or 5 times. And maybe like me, though, sometimes you go to work or you go to school and you just slide by with the bare minimum you can do. You know you could do a lot better, but let's be honest, it's a lot harder to do that. And Jeff's not here today, so I can tell you guys this. Can you keep a secret? Sometimes when I'm at work here, I spend too much time on my phone. Sometimes I get by with doing less than I probably should be doing. Sometimes, though, we might do this with Jesus. Yeah. Sometimes we give Jesus less than he deserves. And we're not growing, and we're satisfied with so much less. We're satisfied with subpar Christian life. We give God some attention on Sunday mornings, like maybe an hour and a half or so. And then we'll go back home and maybe give him 10 minutes throughout the whole rest of the week when he has a better way for us to live. Or maybe, like me, you have that coworker that you need to tell about Jesus. You know they need to hear about Jesus. But you're like, it's all right. I can just keep ignoring that. They haven't asked me about Jesus. There's so much in store for you than just the bare minimum. And today we're going to take a look at a passage in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews in the Bible, that talks about this exact issue. See, the audience of his book were content with much less than what they should have wanted. They were satisfied with milk when they should have been craving solid food, just like baby Marcus. So today I'm going to teach you guys all about spiritual milk, spiritual solid food, and how to eat the best possible meal for your soul. Okay, so let's hop into the meat of this passage. Okay, that's all right. Nobody got the joke. All right, so we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 5, starting at verse 11. And the big numbers in the Bible are the chapter numbers if you've never used a Bible before. And then the small numbers are the verse numbers. And so we're going to go to chapter 5, verse 11. It's going to be on page 970. There are Bibles in the seat of the chair in front of you. And we're actually going to skip in. We're going to read all the way down through chapter 6, verse 12, so quite a big bit. But we're going to skip chapter 6, verses 4 through 8, because we just don't have time to go over them today. So, chapter 5, verse 11, he starts off and he says, "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you, because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so." Now we're going to skip down to verse 9, where he says, "Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are convinced of better things in your case, the things that have to do with salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you've shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for might be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised." So this is a pretty massive chunk of scripture we're going to be going through today. And I'm going to be working through it verse by verse so that I can explain to you guys what I think the author of Hebrews is trying to tell his audience. Because if you just read through it once, you're like, wow, that was a lot. It's like a fire hose. And so we're going to go through it piece by piece, starting with chapter 5, verse 11. And he starts off in this section. He says, "We have much to say to you about this." What does he have much to say to them about? The whole book of Hebrews leading up to this has been about Jesus. Jesus is better than the angels. Jesus is superior to Moses and superior to all of the laws that they were given. Jesus is our high priest. He is in the line of Melchizedek. He has a lot to say about some confusing stuff, some really deep theological truths. And he stops in the middle of his letter and he says, "But it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand." You no longer try to understand. This part of the Bible was written in Greek, and that Greek word that's translated as understand could also be translated as listen or hear. They no longer try to understand. They don't listen. They don't care. So a fun fact about me, I'm engaged, and I'm going to get married in about a month and a half, and thank you. My beautiful fiance, her name is Katie. Sometimes I'll be driving my truck and she'll be sitting next to me and she'll be talking to me and I'll be listening and then I won't be listening and I'll have to say, "Katie, I'm really sorry. Could you repeat the last minute of what you're trying to tell me?" And it's kind of embarrassing because I should know better than that, right? I should be paying attention. But sometimes it's hard for me to pay attention even when I really, really want to. And that's exactly what this audience is doing. He's saying, it's hard to make it clear to you. You're not listening. You don't care, right? You no longer try to understand, right? So he stops and he says, "Hey, don't tune out. I have a bunch of important stuff to say to you guys. Are you listening? Do you care?" Why does he have to do this? Because they've stopped trying to listen. They've stopped trying to care. We can write this down. Problem: the audience of Hebrews had gotten spiritually lazy. Spiritually lazy. And he goes on after this verse. In verse 12, he says, "In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again." He's saying, you guys have been Christians for a while. I expect you guys to be teachers, right? Nobody expects a brand new Christian to preach a sermon or anything. Nobody's like, "All right, you gave your life to Jesus? That's great. So next week I'll have you up here on stage and I hope you have something really good to preach to us." That's not what we do for anybody. Instead, it's like older, more mature Christians, people who have been Christians for a while that were like, "Okay, so you should be a teacher now, right? Wrong. These Christians weren't growing. They weren't maturing. They didn't care anymore. And so instead of them teaching, they needed to be taught. They needed somebody to teach them the basics of Christianity again. When it says elementary truths of God's word, the author of Hebrews is basically saying, you guys need me to teach your ABCs again? Did you guys forget that? Which is kind of silly. Shouldn't they remember their ABCs, the basics of Christianity, the fundamentals? Shouldn't they? The problem was they weren't. They didn't care. It hadn't been sticking because they didn't try to understand. They weren't trying to hear. It's going in one ear, out the other. They weren't keeping it down. And then he says in verse 12 at the end, you need milk, not solid food. So now he's like, you guys can't handle this truth that I'm giving you. You guys keep having to learn these same things all over again. I'm trying to tell you something better. You guys need to get this down so you can learn these better things. He's saying the really basic, easy things in Christianity are like drinking milk, and the more advanced things that he's been talking about and is going to continue to talk about is like eating solid food. We can write this down on your outline. The next blank, these Christians needed spiritual milk. They couldn't handle spiritual solid food. And then he continues, the first part of verse 13, last part of verse 12, he says, you need milk, not solid food. And then verse 13, he says, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant. So at this point in the letter, he's like, all right, I'm done beating around the bush. Y'all are babies. You guys are immature, all right? You need to grow up already. And we can also write this down. Spiritual milk is the very basics of Christianity. It's the very basics of Christianity. These Christians couldn't handle solid food. They couldn't handle the deep, theological, kind of heavy truths about Christianity. They needed spiritual milk. They hadn't graduated past that. They hadn't moved on. They couldn't even keep it down, right? They had to keep learning it over and over again. Just like baby Marcus was throwing up all the time on all kinds of people, these Christians kept throwing up the word of God. They kept throwing up what they had learned and how they had grown. You can't survive on this. You need spiritual solid food. The very basics of Christianity is good for a baby, right? But we got to grow on and move past this. If we're only drinking spiritual milk, then we have a surface level faith. We don't have any roots to our lives. And we're babies. We can't graduate to solid food yet. And moving on, he has more to say to these babies. He says, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, verse 13, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. If you're a baby, you don't know the teaching about righteousness. What's the teaching about righteousness? That's a great question. I also asked that question when I was studying through this. And righteousness, come to find out, is just anything that God likes, anything that's pleasing to God. So he's saying, if you don't know the teaching about righteousness, you don't actually know what makes God happy. You don't know what God wants you to do with your life. So if you're a baby, you have no idea. If you're an adult, then you're acquainted with it, right? And that Greek word that gets translated not acquainted, it's one word that gets translated not acquainted, could also be translated like inexperienced. So they have no experience with pleasing God. They have no experience. They haven't ever seen it or touched it or tasted it, this teaching about righteousness, what God actually really wants for their lives. They aren't really ready for it yet. And then he continues in verse 14. He says, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use, not just like once a month or once every week on Sunday, constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Distinguishing good from evil, right? It takes constant use for that. And we can write this down. It takes constant use and training to become more mature. Growth will not happen and doesn't happen without hard work. Now, I'm sure you guys have gone to the beach and you've seen some baby sitting on the sand, shoveling sand into its mouth as fast as possible, and its mom comes over and has to get it out of the mouth. That's exactly what he's saying. He's saying, you guys can't distinguish between what's food and what's not food. You guys can't distinguish between what's good to eat, what's not good to eat. You guys need someone to teach you that. Adults know the difference between mud and cake, right? I hope so. But babies don't know the difference. They'll just eat anything. They can't discern between good and evil. And this is the teaching about righteousness, right? What's discerning good and evil? The teaching about righteousness. Knowing what God wants. Discerning what God doesn't want and what God does want. And now he's going to tell us what he wants us to do with this. He's like, okay, you guys are babies. Now I'm going to give you some practical application. Chapter 6, verse 1. He says, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings, the basic milk of Christianity. The most important part of this verse is move beyond. We move past milk once we've got it down, once we can keep it in our bodies long enough for us to digest it, right? And you can write this down. In order to grow up and become more mature, you need to eat solid food. You need to move beyond milk. You need to start eating solid food. That's the only way to progress. But what are the solid foods? How do you actually do that? Well, right now in this passage, the author has given us a few clues, a few hints to what the solid foods are. But later on, he's going to make it perfectly crystal clear what the solid foods are. He does give us some examples of what the spiritual milk is, though. In that list, he's going to say, you guys need to move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and move forward into maturity. You need to grow up. You need to move past the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, and the teaching, wait, no, that's the wrong part, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. These are some of the most basic things about Christianity. If you know this about Christianity, these six things, you have the gist of Christianity. You got like the essence of it. That's all the author is saying, though. He's saying, once you get those down, then you can move on. You guys haven't got them down yet. You don't know your Christian ABCs, so you can't move on. So once you get them down, you can. Notice here, though, that the author doesn't condemn being a baby. He just condemns staying that way. Just as each one of us was born an actual physical baby, each one of us is reborn spiritually as a spiritual baby. Now, your outside body might look different from your inside little baby spirit, but I promise that you don't get to go from baby to full-grown adult immediately. You don't get born, reborn as a spiritual baby and then get to immediately become a spiritual adult, right? It takes constant use and training. What Hebrews doesn't like is that some people were staying as babies. It's okay to start out as a baby Christian, but we cannot stay that way. That's in the next blank on your outline. We cannot stay that way. We have to grow up eventually. So far in this sermon, there's been a really crucial piece that's been missing. We've been talking a lot about what we can do, right? And humans can do a lot of things. We can build new habits. We can learn new skills. We can build things that are visible from space. We can even go to space. I mean, think about it. That's kind of crazy. Humans could do a lot of things. But there's one thing we can't do. We cannot change our hearts. There's not a surgeon on this earth that can take our spiritually dead hearts and give us spiritually alive hearts that love Jesus. If we read past the next verse, chapter 6, verse 3, it's a short verse. It's easy to read past it really quick. We're going to miss a really important piece of what the author is trying to tell us. We're never going to grow. We're never going to mature because we can't do it on our own. Chapter 6, verse 3 says, and God permitting, we will do so. God permitting. It's only God helping us that really grows us. Without God helping us, we're not going to grow because we can't change the inside. Yeah, you guys can make it look like you're growing, right? Anybody ever done that before? You've made it look like you're better than you actually are, but on the inside, you're the same person. I've done that before. We can't do it on our own. We need to remember, write this down, God is the only one who can grow us. God is the only one who can grow us. Only Jesus can open our minds to understand the Bible. Only Jesus can erase sin in our lives. Only Jesus can give a spiritually dead person rebirth. So you can write this down again. So even though I have some hard work to do to grow, I know that God is with me and he's going to help me. Because it does take work to move beyond, to move past the elementary teachings and to start eating solid food. So at this point in his letter to the Hebrews, the author is going to pivot. He's like, all right, I've told you guys what you should do. There's spiritual milk. There's spiritual solid food. We move beyond spiritual milk. We move on to spiritual solid food. Now he's going to give you two alternatives. He's going to say in verses 4-8, which we don't have time to cover, this is what's going to happen if you try to live off of spiritual milk. You're going to spiritually die. But verses 9-12 of chapter 6, this is what's going to happen if you keep growing, if you start eating the spiritual solid food, which smells really good, by the way. You're gonna experience so much more of what God has for you. So we're going to skip down to chapter 6, verse 9. Chapter 6, verse 9, make sure you're following along with me. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, even though we speak like this, what's he talking about? Well, verses 4-8, which we don't have time to go through, he's given them this really harsh warning, being like, you guys are probably, you might fall away if you don't grow, because you can't survive on spiritual milk. And so he says, even though we speak like this, dear friends, even though we've given you a really harsh warning, we are convinced of better things in your case, the things that have to do with salvation. He's saying, I know that you guys have the capacity to grow. I know that you can do it. You're not going to be spiritual babies forever. Maybe we're spiritual babies in the past, but now you can start growing and you can become spiritually mature. And then verse 10, he keeps talking about that. He says, God is not unjust. He will not forget the work or your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. He's saying, you guys grew in the past. You've done so much good in the past. I know that you can do it again. I know that you have the capacity to keep growing, to keep doing all these good things. That's what makes him sure. He's like, I've seen what happened in the past, so I know what's going to happen in the future. I know that you guys can do this because I saw you do it back there. And he's convinced of it, that their works and them showing love to God and to people is what's going to grow them. So this is the verse that tells us what the spiritual solid food is. Are you guys ready for it?
Yeah.
All right, some people are. Okay, the spiritual solid food is your actions. It's what you do, right? And in this verse, it's not immediately clear. I didn't notice it. It wasn't the first thing that I noticed when I was writing this sermon. But he's telling us God is not going to forget your work. He's not going to forget how you've loved his people. He's linking works and solid food here. He's saying, you guys ate solid food in the past. You guys did good things in the past. You guys loved God's people in the past. I know that you can do it again. You're not stuck here. You're here right now. But you can move on back to this stuff. And in verse 10, he also says, or not in verse 10, he's been doing this the entire time. He's been linking works and solid food, saying there that they're the same thing. Chapter 5, verse 12, back at the top of that page, he says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, what's he really saying there? He's saying being a teacher is solid food because being taught is spiritual milk. And then in chapter 4, verse 14, says distinguishing good from evil. That's what they train themselves to do. That's part of the solid food, is not shoveling sand into your mouth like a freaking baby. And there's so much. Oh, I almost forgot something. There's a really important blank on your guys' outline. This is kind of, if you only remember one thing from my sermon today, I want you guys to remember this little phrase. And the phrase is, doing is growing. Doing is growing. I'm going to make you guys say it with me because Jeff does this all the time. If we say it together, we're going to remember this better. So say it with me. 3, 2, 1. Doing is growing. I felt nice, actually, from stage. Being generous with your money, giving back to the church, serving in church, sharing the gospel. These are some of those spiritual solid foods. It's the same way for anything else. Nobody ever complains. Well, actually, some people do. But nobody ever complains about being super overweight and out of shape when they haven't done anything about it, right? In order to get shredded and have an awesome summer beach body, you got to diet and you got to exercise. You got to put in the work to grow. In order to get that dream job, that better job you want, you have to get the right qualifications and experience. You literally have to work for that. And if you want to be a better person, you got to cheer for the Chiefs. I mean, guys, I see it so clearly in this text. Oh, we got a lot of haters here. Okay, that's all right. It's really hard for us to keep winning all the time, so. Let's be honest, though. Let's be honest with ourselves. It's way easier to stay as spiritual babies than to actually grow. It's way easier to stay as a real baby, like, right? Like, I'm in college right now. It would be so much easier for me to just stay on all my parents' stuff, on my phone, their phone bill, have them pay for my insurance, and all this stuff. But I can't do that. I'm about to get married. I have to grow up. I have to become an adult. I can't stay a kid anymore. And it's possible to spend your entire lives as a spiritual baby, but be a physical adult on the outside. It's kind of confusing sometimes when you meet somebody and they look old, but on the inside, you know that they're pretty immature. You know that they don't have it all together. And nobody has it all together. But we got to be spiritually mature. There's so much to look forward to if we keep growing, though. If we put in the work. If we actually do so that we can grow. So now, the author in verses 11 through 12 is going to show us what's going to happen if we actually start growing. And if we take what he's telling us and we do it. So, oh, I'm not going to forget this again. If you want to be a mature Christian, this is your next blank. You got to do the work. Working diligently is the solid food. And in verse 13, we haven't talked about it. No, verse 11, he's going to talk about diligence. So he says in verse 11, he says, "We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized." That's verse 11. And that says a lot about this whole passage. So first part is we want each of you to show this same diligence. The same diligence for what? For doing good works, for loving the Lord's people, for showing love to God through that. And this Greek word that gets translated as diligence, remember this part of the Bible is written in Greek, so it can be translated a couple of different ways. This word for diligence could also be translated as like zeal, passion. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it now. I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to be lazy about doing this because this is super important. If you guys just play hypothetical with me for a second. If you guys had a pass or fail assignment or task at your work, pass or fail, but it had to be turned in before a secret deadline that you didn't know when it was due, would you guys wait to do it? Would you see how long you can wait before you get to doing that? Like, a lot of procrastinators, like anybody else a procrastinator like me? Yeah, we know when the deadline is. We want to work all the way up until the deadline, and then we're like, okay, all right. But if we don't have a deadline, it might never get done, right? Oops, secret deadline. That's what could happen. Would you guys risk it? That's the kind of diligence we're talking about here. Your life has a countdown to when you're going to die, when Jesus is going to come back. You don't know when that's going to happen. So the author's saying, be diligent to the very end. You guys have no idea when this is going to happen, so you got to do it now. Do it passionately. Don't wait to do it. And why do we need to be diligent to the end? So that what we hope for may be fully realized. Fully realized. What are we hoping for? Jesus. We're hoping for Jesus to come back. Eternal life. The new heavens and the new earth. If we keep growing to the end, heaven is going to be amazing. We've got a lot to look forward to. And he's saying it's going to be fully realized. You're going to be assured of your salvation. And then, moving on to verse 12, the last verse of this section today, he says, we do not want you to become lazy. So there's diligence. Be diligent. Do it today. Do it now. And he's saying, do not become lazy. This is the opposite of diligence. This is waiting to see how long you can do something, procrastinating, not growing, right? We don't want you to do that. Be diligent. But instead, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Who are we supposed to imitate? Well, verse 13, the writer of Hebrews keeps talking, and he starts talking about Abraham. Abraham was promised that he was going to have descendants that outnumbered the stars, but he had to wait 20 years before he had even one single son. And part of that promise to Abraham, was that one of his descendants one day was going to come back and make everything better. One of his descendants was going to bless the entire earth, everybody, for all times. The promise of God, as it was to Abraham and is to us, is Jesus. Jesus is the promise of God. There are over 400 prophecies in the Old Testament that point to Jesus. The entire Bible is the story of Jesus and God. And without Jesus, we're spiritually dead. We're not spiritual babies. We're not spiritual adults. We're spiritually nothing. We have no life in our body. But with Jesus, through conversion, through rebirth, he gives us new life. And we're spiritually reborn as babies. Jesus is the rebirth, the spiritual milk, and the spiritual solid food. And he says so himself. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus is talking. And Jesus says in John chapter 6, verse 35, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Jesus is the spiritual milk, he's the spiritual bread, and he's the only reason we can drink and eat these things. I am the bread of life. And he's going to make all of our hard work worth it. After 10 trillion years, 10 trillion, we can't even wrap our minds around that. After 10 trillion years on the new earth, in the new heavens, with Jesus every day, every single day, getting better than the next day, we're going to probably wish we'd worked even harder for Jesus. We're going to wish that we'd put in more effort to grow and know him better on earth. So, let's get really, really practical. How can we grow and mature? Well, the first step is to figure out where we're at, right? Am I a spiritual baby? Am I a spiritual adult? So you can write this down. What does my spiritual diet say about me? Am I a spiritual baby, spiritually mature, or am I even eating at all? Every stage of development has different needs. Are you a spiritual baby drinking spiritual milk? It's time to move beyond milk. Time to get that stuff down, get it locked in. And then you can move on to better and bigger things. Are you a spiritual adult? Maybe you guys are spiritual adults. Maybe you've been listening to the sermon and you're like, okay, all right, I am doing pretty good. I'm glad I came to this sermon. I feel encouraged. Maybe, yeah, but maybe also what you've been eating, that spiritual solid food, has been spiritual Kraft macaroni and cheese and spiritual chicken nuggets, right? It's time to move past the diet of a five-year-old. It's time to start eating better. Right? There's even different levels of spiritual med. That wasn't what I was supposed to say. Spiritual bread, spiritual solid food. But maybe you're not eating either. Maybe this is your first time coming to church in 5 years. Maybe you've never even been to church before. You're not a spiritual baby or a spiritual adult. You're spiritually dead. You have no life inside of your soul because you haven't given it to Jesus. If you're thinking about accepting Jesus' forgiveness and giving your life to him, you can do that today. Today is the day for that, always. Today is the day. Be diligent about that. I promise you that this will be the best decision you've ever made. This is the most important decision you could ever make, is giving your life to Jesus. Jesus wants to come. He wants to help you grow and achieve your full potential here on earth. But you can't achieve your full potential if you don't even know Jesus. So if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you want to be baptized, we have red cards in front of you, and you can actually check that box on the back. And we want to know about that because we want to help you grow, because it's best to grow together. You can grow on your own a little bit, maybe, but growing together is the best way to grow. So now that we know where we're at on the spiritual spectrum, now that we know what our spiritual diet is, we can get some really, really practical ways to grow and move beyond our current spiritual diets, even if our current spiritual diets are pretty good already. So let's remember, doing is growing. So let's look at some things that are going to help us grow. Here's some spiritual milk that I should be drinking: reading my Bible and praying every day. That's the best way to get to know Jesus, is by spending time with him. Got to read what he said, figure out the kind of character he has in his word. You can tell a lot by a person by what they write. And then by praying to him every day. Prayer isn't some boring thing that you have to force yourself to do. I mean, sometimes it seems that way. But prayer, what it really is talking to your heavenly Father. And he's interesting, I can promise you guys. He might not always speak back, but it is good to talk to him. And then being generous with my money and giving to the church. If you guys aren't being generous with your money, you're missing out on so much. Jesus commands it so much. He talks so much about money in the New Testament, in the book of Mark, in the book, the other Gospels. And he says you have to be generous. You have to be giving to the church. We should never be in the red on that stoplight. We should never be in the yellow even. We should always get enough money from you guys to fill and have our budget overflowing so that we can pour back and we don't have to worry in staff meetings about, oh no, we didn't make our budget, what are we gonna do? We shouldn't have to worry about that. We should be able to give you guys the best things possible because you guys are giving to God. And then growth groups. Growth groups is your outline blank on there. And I put that on there because growth groups are so, so important. They are groups of people that will meet together for a Bible study to study the sermon and come up with some questions of like, what should I be doing after this sermon? Like, how should my life change because of what I heard? And we say all the time, Sunday service is part A, growth groups are part B. If you only have Sunday church, if you only give God an hour and a half every week, you're gonna miss so much growth that he wants for you. Now that we don't have many growth groups meeting right now, we've only got about two, it's the summer. Growth groups will start August 31st, I'm super excited. But in the meantime, while you guys are waiting for growth groups, we've got so many events, so many classes for you guys to sign up for, and you can find those in the seat back of the chair in front of you. Carrie's already talked about them. There's so many good ones that I'm gonna be personally going to. So once we've got that spiritual milk down, we're gonna start to move on to some spiritually solid foods. So, here are some spiritual solid foods that I should work up to. Membership. Oh, membership is so important. If you guys have been here for over a year, if you would consider Revolution to be your church home, you're like, yeah, you know what? These are my people. These are my family. If you're ready to do that, if you've been going to growth groups, if you've been serving, that's another blank on here. So this is an advanced spiritual food. If you're ready, and you want to say, you know what? I'm going to make these people my spiritual family, and I'm going to completely give my life to Jesus, and I'm going to do that through this church, then mark membership on the back of this red card. You can just write it on there, and we'll get it back to you. This is committing yourself to the local church and to God. And this is definitely, definitely, oh my gosh, going to grow you guys so much, maybe even grow you more than you're comfortable with. This is such an amazing opportunity to get to come and pour into the church. Serving. Serving is the next blank on there, or it's not actually a blank, but it is on there, and serving is one of those things that is so necessary for growth. If you're not serving, if you're not giving back to the church, if you're not helping the church, then you just can't grow. You'll stay a spiritual baby because you're not moving on. And we've got a QR code on there. You can take your phone out and you can scan that QR code, or you can go to revo.church/serve, and you can find so many places that we need people. We need so many people to help us. And then teaching is the last blank. And this comes exactly from this text. I didn't think of this one on my own. This was already in the Bible. It says, you ought to be teachers. Some of you guys ought to be teachers. Some of you guys have a lot of wisdom to share. Some of you guys have a lot of Bible knowledge, or maybe not even that much Bible knowledge, but you're patient enough to sit with kids that are going to be fidgety and crazy. And we have so much need for more leaders in this church. We need growth group leaders. We need youth leaders. We need Revo Kids leaders. They're drowning in toddlers back there. Who's gonna go and help them, right? There's so many little ankle biters back there that need somebody to teach them the word of God. So if you feel like you could do it, you can also sign up for that on that QR code there. And there are so many ways that you guys can grow. There's so much spiritual milk and so much spiritual solid food that you can be ingesting and consuming. And these are just a few of them. I've just given you three examples of spiritual milk, There are examples of spiritual food. There's so much more out there. There's so much more I wanted to say in practical application that I just couldn't. And so you can write this down. One way that you're going to commit to moving beyond spiritual milk into greater maturity. And you can fill in the blank there. I've given you some great examples of what that looks like. Maybe you need to go back and revisit some of that spiritual milk because you didn't get it the first time. Maybe you need to go back and you need to commit even more to serving or even more to teaching and leading. There's so many ways that we can do this. So remember, doing is growing, but it's not in our own power that we can grow. It's ultimately up to God. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much, God. And we know that some of us, we've been spiritual babies in some areas. We've been spiritual adults, God, some of us, but some of us, we just haven't got it. And Lord Jesus, I just pray that if there's anybody in here that's a spiritual baby that needs to grow, Lord, would you just convict them and just give them so much encouragement that they can do it, that you're going to be with them, Jesus. And I pray for every spiritual adult in here that maybe they need to add more variety to their diet and they need to try something new. God, I pray that you would encourage them to grow even more. And Jesus, I pray especially for those people who aren't spiritual babies, who aren't spiritual adults, who are spiritually dead in this room right now. Jesus, I pray that you would help them to see that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that there's no way to grow apart from you. There's no way to achieve their full potential without you. So Jesus, please be with us as we go out and eat spiritual solid food. Amen.